You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio. Now let's chat gaming. I'm joined by RNIB's Accessible Gaming and Immersive Technologies Research Officer, Ben Breen, to talk to us about one of the biggest games of the year so far, The Last of Us Part 1 for PlayStation 5, which is out on the 2nd of September. Ben, thanks so much for joining us here today.
Thank you for the opportunity. Always a pleasure to be here.
So first up, Ben, you're the Accessible Gaming and Immersive Technologies Research Officer. Can you explain a bit about what it is that you do?
Essentially, for the past several years, I worked as an accessibility consultant and talked to studios, went around the world, did presentations, all under the brand of Sightless Combat. Essentially, my role at the RNIB now is that just with the backing of the RNIB, so I get to still create content, disseminate information, but also get into the deeper parts of it, things like events, speaking at various engagements, promoting the RNIB's work as well.
Now, this game, The Last of Us Part 1, is a big, big deal. For those unfamiliar, can you explain a bit why, please?
So, The Last of Us launched in 2013 on PlayStation 3 to much critical acclaim, particularly the opening being a standout point of discussion. A remaster launched a year later on PlayStation 4, but this was at a time when accessibility wasn't really a talking point at all. Talking consoles, as they were termed, were still a pipe dream, and nothing had really been done in the way of accessibility of mainstream titles. Audio games still existed, audio-only titles or titles with limited graphics that were designed specifically for gamers with no sight or low vision, but nothing had really been done in the console space. So to have a remake that can be played start to finish without the need for assistance is amazing. And the fact that it's got audio description and other elements we'll come onto later that have carried over from part two is just absolutely wonderful to see. It's a good example of a remake that does more than just makes the original game for modern systems. It goes above and beyond that.
What are your thoughts on the game now that you've played it?
Yep. So what I should say is thank you very much to Sony and to Naughty Dog for providing me with a review copy via PlayStation UK. In terms of my thoughts, I think it's a great opportunity to be able to play a game that everybody else has taken for granted for the last decade nearly. You know, that's the thing. It's a matter of, even though I knew exactly what was going to happen through the narrative because I'd seen so much of it through popular culture over the years, both of the base game and of the DLC Left Behind, which was included in this package as standard, you can play all of that without being able to see it with no assistance needed. If you're going through the collectibles and things, that gets a little trickier. As those of you who've tried to do it for part two can attest, it can be rather finicky in terms of being able to find those collectibles, even if you do, as I've done, and have guides in front of you to know roughly where to look for said collectibles in the first place. But it's a huge deal. Being able to, you know, 10 years on, I'm now able to experience not just the sequel, but the original game that made everybody fall in love with these characters and with a level of accessibility that I wouldn't have expected at the time, probably. So it's fantastic to see.
Now, you've mentioned some of the accessibility features that are sprinkled throughout the game. What are they and how do they benefit the playing of the game for someone who's blind or partially sighted?
There are a lot of accessibility features. There are so many. And the fact of the matter is, a lot of it carries over from The Last of Us Part 2. So if you've played that game, which was, you know, an absolute smash hit accessibility-wise a couple of years ago, you'll know that there's navigation and traversal assistance. So you press a button and it orients you to the correct way to go. You've got things like combat assistance, where you'll have audio cues for stealth kills. You've got invisible while prone, which allows you to sneak past large numbers of enemies, where if you were standing up, then they would be able to see you. But because you're invisible while prone, it doesn't matter. You virtually don't exist unless you're really unlucky and you bump into one. And, you know, a lot of that carries over to part one, of course, alongside menu narration, without which none of these options would be easily usable and accessible in terms of, you know, availability. But part one adds audio description, which is the big thing, in a cinematic descriptions, I think it was called at one point. You know, with that, it means that you know what's going on in the narrative as you go through. So instead of wondering, oh, what's happening here? Why is there a big awkward pause? It all makes sense. You know when title cards are appearing, when characters are in and, you know, when they're changing sequences or whatever. It's very much a step up from what any other game has done up until now. But of course, you know, it's just the cinematics. There's no description for the transitional sequences. It's a start. That's the way I look at it. It's a very promising beginning, and hopefully we'll see developers, much like with Last of Us 2, not just giving that as a bar to reach, but a bar to surpass as well.
Certainly. And with this big AAA title coming out as a bit of a benchmark for accessible gaming, where do you see the future in this? How far can this go to level the playing field between VI and fully sighted gamers?
I think this game sets the bar for remakes now. So Last of Us 2 set the bar for new games coming out, and this sets the bar for any and all remakes going forward, because a lot of, you know, historically remasters and remakes don't really think of accessibility at all. They don't add anything else in. They don't do as much as they could, particularly with relevance to gaming without sight at all. You know, there's a lot of issues with, you know, this game remaster could have menu narration, but it doesn't. And you sometimes wonder why, and then think that it might be because the original game never did, or because, you know, it might be too complicated to build in. So I feel like this sets a benchmark for any developer, indie or AAA or in between, to this is how accessible I need to make my remake when I put it together. And as for where the future goes, I feel like we're going to see more games having audio description. We're going to see more games introducing accessibility, as we have over the past couple of years, but we're going to see it happen even more frequently, I hope. So this game just continues to emphasize the importance of accessibility, even if it does have its flaws and imperfections, like pathfinding being a problem at points during my review period, at least, where I would have to reload checkpoints and things and restart puzzles on rare occasions, having to skip entire puzzles. That's because it's a pre-launch build, most likely. And, you know, nevertheless, it still sets a solid benchmark for developers to say, look, this is where we should be. Why are we not there? How do we get there? And how do we surpass that?
Well, here's hoping that this kicks off the conversation in accessible gaming. Well, Ben Breen, RNIB's Accessible Gaming and Immersive Technologies Research Officer, thank you so much for joining us here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you.